Greetings and salutations, minions! Critical Kunik here, back with yet another Short Tales of RPG Horror podcast episode. Man, I just got done watching the second episode of The Last of Us TV show on HBO Max, and I just realized that sounded like a sponsorship. It was not, but that is a great TV show. If you're not yet watching it and you're a fan of The Last of Us, 100%, 10 out of 10, recommend. And honestly, it set the perfect tone for me. That's a horror TV show, and we're about to read some horror stories. And I do have quite a few lined up that are interesting, some that are going to maybe challenge some DMs to maybe rethink what they do at their table. And with that, let's roll for the first one. Why I Don't Allow Players to Use Alignments, by Reddit user Carcosa Citizen. For a good 2 years, I had a group as both DM and a player where the party kept going murder hobo, keeping magic items to literally try and rule the world, start an embezzlement scheme with an items shop, use a just orphaned child as bait for a wraith, that kind of stuff. So when the time came to make a new campaign, I flipped the script. Any neutral or evil alignment, no good. The argument about restrictions to characters was staggering. I just don't think it's very good to try and start a genocide or rob people because they're an NPC. 3 hours later, and at the end of the fighting, I had a party of chaotic neutral assholes doing the same shit they did as lawful good murderers and thieves. End post. This is actually something I've been debating, because with the whole OGL debacle with Wizards of the Coast, I've been considering jumping platforms. Most of my players have only played D&D 5e, but there's a whole load of other systems out there that are quite interesting. So the one I've been looking into is Basic Fantasy RPG, which is based on Basic D&D and Advanced D&D, so effectively 1 to 2.5e. And what's interesting is, while it's a supplement, the core game does not include alignments whatsoever. The intent is that the DM is to judge the alignment of the players themselves. So if you have a cleric or a paladin from one of the supplements, and they're trying to use their divine magic right after trying to sacrifice a kid to a wraith, well, that's not very divine of you, I would think, depending on the god they're worshipping. Maybe their powers just stop working because, hey, they're straying a little too far from the path. And honestly, I think it's a really good idea. A lot of people, especially newer players, have trouble wrapping their heads around what alignment really means. Many of them, as in the case of this story, ignore it altogether. So why not let the way that they roleplay just sort of lead to how they're aligned within the story? And the Game Master, being the Game Master, can judge them for it. And if they really messed up, you'll let them know. Okay, onwards to the next story. And this one really hurts. DM cockblocks an almost 3-year character goal, by Reddit user Gardevoirwell. I hope I pronounced that right. This is the story of my own sadness over any attempts at badmouthing my DM. I am frustrated, but overall appreciate what he does greatly. Despite this, the story below has been a difficult one to swallow. I play a bard. A large chunk of her deal is she adores learning about magic, and we happen to be on a naturally magical island. Amazing. In March of 2020, I asked my DM what he thought of a character goal involving building my own spell. He liked it and told me what to do. I made deals, studied, and overall pushed this spell as my bard's magnum opus, the likes of Tasha's hideous laughter or Melf's acid arrow. A legacy undeniable to the world. The apex of this was 3 years later. This night, my DM told me I needed a mana forge to craft this spell, but we needed to be close to a rift in the protective barrier stopping planar creatures from entering our world. Coincidentally, less than 2 weeks prior, we were informed, because we had been interacting with, fighting and killing, three different types of devils and demons, we formed a convergence. Meaning we were a danger to the rift, and could let demons through if we got close. The cleric and the party had been given divine instruction to go to one of these rifts and receive messaging from a higher deity anyways. So we went and geared up to finally complete this spell, since there was a mana forge in the same building. I was so excited. The divine information took precedent, as it should. But the second it concluded, my character began receiving visions. horrible visions that showed her completing the spell. But as a result, friends tore the messenger deity in half and descended upon the land, dyeing the sky red and killing members of the party. Any sane person would take the cue and GTFO, the sky barely reverting back to its original colors as the red our presence created fades hundreds of feet from the castle. Fortunately, it was after the game ended that it set in the fate of my magnum opus character achievement. My DM runs a brutal, low magic game with consequences no matter what you choose to do. The convergence sets the precedent that any attempts to construct the spell will bring chaos and destabilization to the region. We are not going to dedicate ultra valuable time to go out of our way to try again with those consequences on the line for a spell. We have to run into opportunity, and 3 years to get this far lets you know the likelihood of that. I'm just left wondering if it's even worth it anymore. I'm not willing to abandon the character and play a temp PC for potentially months to get this spell. I want to share it with the table, but the drive to try and make it happen has plummeted, when it seems like the goal itself is not wanted by the DM, even though I know that's not the case. I love my DM, but this was a cold move. End post. Not gonna lie, DM, that was a dick move. In my humble opinion, if you give your PCs hope that something can be achieved, and years later they're still trying for that one thing and getting very, very close to it within the game setting, even among the restrictions you've set, let them do it. It's going to make them feel like they've made an impact on the world and feel like that they've done something unique and interesting that only they've done out of anyone that's ever played a TTRPG before. That's the kind of feeling that this would provide them. To prevent them from being able to do that, it's... I can understand running a low magic game. I truly can. I'm planning one myself. But if you tell them that, yes, you can do this provided you accomplish these goals that I'm setting for you now, and then you don't allow them to because bad apocalyptic things are going to happen, I mean, they don't have to happen. You can let it go through. Yeah, I'm totally on the OP side here. This is not cool. I admire the OP for sticking with it. I mean, they've been in the campaign for 3 years as it is. Me, I probably would have gotten a little bit more emotionally mad at the table over this. All right, and onwards to our next story. New player creates a barbarian. By Reddit user TBKSSOM. The cast names changed for privacy reasons. Mike, one of my friends, has a good deal of experience with D&D, the DM. Myself has extensive experience with D&D, playing a shy and naive Genasi sorcerer. Theo, another one of my friends, somewhat naive himself, first-time D&D player playing a dragonborn barbarian. Seth, the final friend, also a first-time D&D player but has played a lot of Skyrim and so was interested to learn, playing a human paladin. Martin, a friend of a friend who joined in session 2, playing a half-elf cleric. So myself and three of my friends decided to start a simple D&D campaign to introduce Seth and Theo to the game. It sounded like a great idea at the time, but we're 3 sessions in and Theo is going to make me tear my hair out. Here's the highlights of what his character has done in just 3 sessions. Threatened to kill my character numerous times. Bit the head off a goblin we were fighting. Goblins are considered people in this world. And swallowed it. Ate the entire wheel of the world's stinkiest cheese for no reason, forcing us to stop everything and wait for him to get better. Tried to run up a flight of stairs and fell on his face. Tried to break down a door before checking if it was open. Actually tried to kill my character, forcing me to repeatedly cast friends on him and leading to a heartfelt emotional discussion about his behavior, which he then proceeded to not change at all. Talked in public about how it's perfectly okay to eat goblins alive because they're not people, after we told him they were. Ran off on his own when we were hunting, splitting the party because he wanted to hunt bears instead of deer. Complained about almost getting killed by 4 bears when he was level 3. Complained about people complaining about his behavior. Constantly complained about his character being hungry when we had just eaten. Walked into an ongoing bar fight and started killing people. And yeah, Critical Kunik here just chiming in. Remember, this is within 3 sessions. Only 3 sessions, all of this has happened. At this point, after the end of the second session, I had an out-of-character talk with him about what was happening and why it needed to change. Then the next session, he told an NPC that we were trying to kill a wizard that we were in fact not trying to kill, got frustrated that there was a puzzle in a dungeon and stopped trying to solve it, threatened to kill my character again because I said he wasn't smart. His character actually had the highest intelligence in the party. When faced with an obvious animated armor trap, he decided to trigger it by picking up our healer and throwing him at the armor. This is the point where I almost decided to kill him in game, but our healer consented to being thrown at the last second. I would like to add that this character has a fiance who is a paladin. End post. Thea was new. New players? They can make mistakes. I think that the DM needs to talk to Theo outside of the game. OP mentioned that they did, but given that OP is also a player and not the DM, Theo might have thought, well, he's my peer. Maybe what he's saying is not relevant to me, or maybe I shouldn't listen to him, right? That's what a lot of people do. If you have colleagues or, you know, other people at school or whatever, if they're your classmates or they're your colleagues, you may not take authority from them as well as you would like a teacher or a boss. So it could be something to that extent. And as a result, I would loop in the DM. The DM needs to talk to Theo about this. And not really a lot else needs to be said. If Theo does not accept the DM's advice and continues acting this way, maybe he's not cut out to play D&D, or at least what we would traditionally think is D&D. Throw him in a party and setting of murder hobos and he'll probably have a lot of fun and work out there. But if you're trying to have a serious, or well, relatively serious D&D game, I don't think he's going to work out if he refuses to follow what the DM is advising him to follow. Alright, that wraps up today's episode of Short Tales of RPG Horror Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Critical Kunik. If you've not yet followed the podcast in whatever app you're using to listen to this on, it would mean the world for you to do so. We're trying to grow it, and the only way to do that is to have people consistently listen to the product. So if you enjoy it, please consider doing that. Likewise, if you want to hear more horror stories, I've got a YouTube channel dedicated specifically to that. youtube.com/CriticalKunik. And the link will be in the podcast description if you're interested. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and week.